Have you ever asked God to give you a sign? Maybe you were considering a career change or relationship advice. Maybe you were facing a health crisis and uncertain about what was coming next. And you cried out to God that God would give you a sign to help you know what to do or if what you were doing was the right thing. Or simply a sign just to reassure you that God was still there. Have you ever cried out to God and asked for a sign? As we have been waiting in this season of life, perhaps you have been waiting for a sign. A sign that all of this would be over. A sign that it's safe to go back to whatever you want to go back to, or a sign that, you know what, don't ever worry about going back to that. It's completely different. Maybe you've simply been waiting for a sign that God is still with us. Have you been waiting for a sign? As we go to Scripture, we see all throughout the Bible men and women of God asking for and receiving signs from God. And today we revisit the story of Abraham. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abraham, who at this point in the story is known by the name Abram is 75 years old. And he and his wife are childless. And at the ripe old age of 75, God comes to him and tells Abram that Abram will have a child and that God will show him a new land to raise this new family. And as you can imagine, at 75 years old, that's maybe not a welcome promise, but for Abram, it's all he's ever wanted. A son, an heir, someone to pass on the family legacy. But ever since that initial promise back in chapter 12, Abram has had anything but good days. He gets into a near fatal run-in with the Pharaoh of Egypt. His nephew Lot gets him caught up between a war between two feuding kings, nearly gets Abram killed. And after all of that, his wife Sarai is still childless. So much for the promise, right? God speaks, Abram listens. God promises, Abram believes. God commands, Abram obeys. But as the years go by, Abram is tired of waiting. And so in the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abram makes a cry to God. I want to read you part of what Abram says. So in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, verses 2 and 3, we read this. But Abram said, O Lord, my God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring. And so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. See, today I know that the struggle of infertility is a heavy burden for families to bear. And in the ancient world, it was also wrapped up in guilt over sin and punishment and a sense that God was somehow punishing a husband and wife who had no children, even though they earnestly desired for it. And so you can see and hear, can't you, in Abram's cry, that desperation, but also that accusation, right? That God, you promised this, and yet here I am all these years later waiting for you to deliver on your promise. And what do I have to show for all the years, all the time of patiently waiting on you, God? You see, Abram knows that as a man in the ancient world, children are your insurance policy, right? Children are your retirement plan. It's children who will take care of you in your old age. And in the years before there's any concept of resurrection or eternal life in the Hebrew mind, Abram thinks that the only way for him to live on is in the legacy of children. And none of that seems possible. And so Abram makes a plan, right? He's a practical man. He's been successful at his industry and his business. He does have possessions to hand over. He does have a wife in Sarai to make sure that she is taken care of. And so he makes a plan like any of us would do, right? And he makes a plan that his servant, Eliezer of Damascus, will become his official heir. He will take over the business. He will take all the property and he will take care of Abram's estate. When Abram dies, he hopes Eliezer will live, that Eliezer will take care of Sarai, and that Eliezer will keep Abram's memory alive long after he's gone. And so that's the plan. And it's a quite human thing to do, right? That while we're waiting, we go ahead and make other plans just in case God doesn't come through. And so Abram asks for a sign to confirm his plans. Oh Lord, what will you give me? He asks. And he lays out the plan that he's established with the underlying question being to ask God, give me a sign, God. Is this the way that you intended me to have an heir, my servant? Give me a sign, God. Is this what I am to do? Now, Abram doesn't have to wait very long. So in chapter 15, picking right back up with the next verse, verse 4, we hear God's response. But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." When Abram asks for a sign, God gives him one. God not only confirms that initial promise, he magnifies it. He said, "Oh, you've been waiting for one descendant? Abram, I'm going to give you countless descendants. And I'm going to give you a nightly reminder that every night that you look up at the stars and are unable to count them all, every night you will see a sign of my promise to you. Just look up and see your sign." The next verse says that Abram believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abram believed the promise of God and the sign of God's faithfulness. as he looked to the stars. So, in this season of waiting, we see in Abram an example of trusting in God while we wait. Now, I know that in the midst of this waiting, we can still feel doubt and uncertainty, frustration, even anger, and certainly disappointment as the year 2020 doesn't look like anything we expected it to be. We can feel all of those emotions and feelings and frustrations. And the question I want you to consider is, can you, like Abram, take all of those feelings and frustrations and take them directly to God? Can we, like Abram, trust that God doesn't mind when we ask God questions? You know, my kids, Henry and Catherine, are at that really fun age where they ask us questions all the time. Have you been there? Are you there? Oh my gosh, right? It's great, but it can get annoying. Why is the sky blue? Why did God make mosquitoes? Why do we have to leave school? Why can't God fix the coronavirus? You know, those are some hard questions. And while I know it's annoying from time to time to try to deal with some difficult and hard questions from our kids, do you know why they ask me those questions? Because they trust me. Because they love me. Because they have an innate understanding that I want the best for them. And I would do anything in my power, not only to answer them, but to give them a good life. And I also know that there will come a day not too distant from now when they'll stop asking questions and they won't think me very smart. And I will long for these days again when they annoy me with their loving questions. Sisters and brothers, God is a better parent than any of us could ever hope to be. And because of that, God longs to hear our questions, longs to hear our feelings, longs to hear our frustrations. Now, it doesn't mean that God's going to tell us what we want to hear or even answer us immediately, but rather that back and forth relationship that we see Abram and God have all throughout the book of Genesis, that is a relationship that God desires with each one of us. That while we wait, we look to God for our answers. While we wait, we remind ourselves of God's presence and the promises of God. And we put our faith and our hope and our trust in the waiting in God. Now, even after this story, here in the 15th chapter, it will be another 10 years before Abram has his first son. And God makes good on that promise. Now, I don't know how long you will have to wait for whatever it is you are waiting for God to deliver for you. I don't know how long it will be to the end of this coronavirus. I don't know how long it will be that we'll have to wear masks. I don't know how long it will be till anything, really. But I do know that if I wait in God, the waiting's worth it. If I put my hope and trust in God, God will deliver. And at the very least, every night I can look up and see the stars. And I know without a doubt that the same God who made those stars made me, and He made you. And He loves us just as much as He loved Abram and all of the children of Abraham. So every night, if you're feeling like you're just about tired of waiting and beginning to wonder if God will keep God's promises, go outside, take a deep breath, look up, and see the sign you've been waiting for. Amen.